This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, October 5th of 2022. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear from co-authors of the recently released book, Courageous Discomfort, ahead of their in-person event tomorrow for the Boulder Library Foundation. Chris Moore is back with his weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's the Hightower Lowdown. On today's A Public Affair, News Director Shannon Young will be hosting a live call-in show with the League of Women Voters. They discuss election literacy and local ballot issues. Then at 9:30, Joanne Cole will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Kiara Damari.
Conservation groups won an appeal to stop the expansion of Colorado's Grosse Dam. The United States Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit passed the appeal Friday. It overturned the U.S. District Court's dismissal of an earlier challenge to the Clean Water Act permit that is required for the expansion of the Moffat Collection System and Grosse Dam in Colorado. The proposed Grosse Reservoir expansion project wanted to add an extra 900,000 feet of concrete to the Grosse Dam, which would have tripled the size of the reservoir. If successful, the Grosse Dam would have become the tallest dam in Colorado. The Colorado River Basin is the main water source for communities across Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and Mexico. Their lawsuit claimed the permit went against the Clean Water Act, Endangered Species Act, and National Environmental Policy Act. Initially, Colorado's district court had dismissed the group's complaint on the grounds that a challenge to the Army Corps permit would need to be brought to the Court of Appeals. However, on Friday, the Court of Appeals disagreed and came to the conclusion that based on the plain language of the Federal Power Act, the group correctly brought their case to the district court. The Boulder police officers arrested 22-year-old Jacob Derwolf on Monday after officers responded to multiple calls of gunshots in downtown Boulder around 7th and Walnut. Boulder police charged Derwolf with a misdemeanor, citing prohibited use of weapons, reckless endangerment, disorderly conduct, and reckless driving. The investigation is still ongoing. Congressman Joe Neguse announced Tuesday the allocation of more than $6 million in federal funding to counties across Colorado's 2nd Congressional District. The funding comes from the Local Consistency and Tribal Assistance Fund. The money will go towards supporting eligible rural, mountain, and tribal communities to meet the needs of their jurisdiction. In a press release announcing the funding allocation, Congressman Neguse said, "Colorado communities can utilize these resources to fund local schools, improve road maintenance, and support emergency response operations." He also urged entities eligible for the funding to not miss the application deadlines. Revenue-sharing counties have to request funding just before midnight on January 31st. The Colorado Department of Agriculture has detected a Japanese beetle on the western slope. Christian Garibay reports.
The Colorado Department of Agriculture is working to eliminate the invasive Japanese beetle population after they were discovered in Grand Junction this last summer. The CDA is working in collaboration with Mesa County's Noxious Weed and Pest Management Programs to find ways of eradicating the pest and with the Colorado State University Tri-River Extension Office to make sure the public is educated on how to identify and stop these beetles from spreading to other parts of the state. The Colorado Department of Agriculture and other organizations say they will create a plan to combat the beetles and that they hope will be ready for the spring season when these beetles become more prominent. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
The city of Boulder has already begun training new snowplow drivers for the up-and-coming winter season. Spokesperson Julie Casa told the Daily Camera that Boulder has 47 drivers and almost half of them are new. The city has 19 vehicles for snow and ice control, and the first training began with an in-cab training and then a driving course at the Boulder Airport. According to the Daily Camera, two fleet technicians, a dispatcher, and a supervisor also work each snow shift. Police have identified two suspects involved in this weekend's shooting on University Hill. KGNU's Claire Purnell reports.
Around 1:27 a.m. on Saturday, October 2nd, officers responded to calls about a gun disturbance near the 1200 block of Pennsylvania Avenue. The police arrived at the scene to find armed individuals who were actively shooting. Further investigation shows the incident involved at least three different types of firearms. One officer shot at 22-year-old Zakai Lucas, who was holding an assault rifle. Witnesses say Lucas pulled out the gun and shot toward two men who were beating him up. Emergency crews later took Lucas to the hospital for non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. Lucas was discharged from the hospital and charged with felony attempt murder in the first degree extreme indifference, felony attempt murder in the first degree after deliberation, and misdemeanor disorderly conduct discharge firearm. The Boulder Police Department is asking for the public's help identifying a photographed person of interest in the same crime. Anyone with any information is asked to call Detective Cantu at 303-441-4328, reference case 2209880. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
Expect mostly sunny weather with light and variable wind. In Boulder, there's a high of 67 and a low of 45. In Denver, a high of 69 and a low of 45. And in Fort Collins, a high of 69 and a low of 43. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. The Black Lives Matter demonstrations that erupted nationwide in the wake of the police killing of George Floyd in the summer of 2020 did more than occupy space on the streets. They created a discourse and a reckoning that forced people in the U.S. to at least acknowledge systemic inequalities and the structures that enforce them. Some of these conversations have been public. Others have been one-on-one. Still others have been in books. One of those books is the newly released Courageous Discomfort, How to Have Important, Brave, Life-Changing Conversations About Race and Racism. This morning, I'm joined live by the book's co-authors, Shantara McBride and Rosalind Wiseman. They'll be presenting their book at an event tomorrow at the Boulder Jewish Community Center. Shantara is the founder of Marvelous University and author of Love Your Jiggle, The Girl's Guide to Being Marvelous. And Rosalind is most known for Queen Bees and Wannabes, which was the source material for the film, Mean Girls. Thank you both so much for coming to the program this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was just so great to read a little bit about your book. I started to skim it, but I have a lot on my reading plate. But, you know, what I think is so interesting both about reading a little bit about you and the book is that you both seem super successful with regard to writing and your activism. So, Rosalind, I'll toss you the first question. What was it like to decide we're going to write this book and we're going to do it together?
Well, I have the pleasure of being local to Boulder. I moved here 10 years ago, and I moved from Washington, D.C., where many years before that, Shantara and I had worked together. And, you know, I've always worked on these issues with young people, but I've never been, and with parents and teachers, but I've never been as explicit as I felt like I needed to be. And, you know, after, and Shantara and I have worked on these issues, supported each other as we've thought and talked about and taught on these issues for so long. And after this, you know, during the summer of 2020, and also living in Boulder, I have to say, because it's, because there really is, you know, we need to talk about, like, really talk about diversity and about Black and brown people's experiences in this county more. And coming from DC, I felt like I needed to do a better job of contributing to that. And I think all of those things, I think the work I'd done for 10 years, the 25 years, you know, off and on with Shantara, being here and local, it just really impacted me and influenced my thinking, all of those things. And it really gave me the opportunity to think about who better to do something like this than my dear friend and colleague, Shantara McBride.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, in both the press release and then in speaking right now, you've mentioned your relationship with Shantara a lot. So, Shantara, I'll turn it over to you. Why was it important for y'all to discuss your friendship in the book? Did this challenge your relationship at all? What was that like?
Well,
I think it's important because I think people need to see real life conversations and real life people. And I know it's important because there is no way that we could have done this book without trust. There's no way that we could have everything in the book. We had to have the conversation and work through it with each other before it went on paper, right? And so it's, I think it's such a, not that we are the best examples for people walking in the world, but we do pretty good. But I think it's a way of showing people that you cannot, you can't do this work surface, you know, you have to get in it. And that's the beauty of this book, that we had to get in it first before it ever went down in a Word document.
Absolutely.
And we talk about how uncomfortable we were. And actually, Shantara, we were just recently talking about something before the interview. And I think I just want to put this out here because I know this happens in our community. And Shantara, see, she already knows what I'm going to say, which is this whole thing when people say like, okay, oh, I just said something racist, or is this racist, or, you know, something like that. And Shantara and I were just talking about like, we actually need to stop doing that because that's actually irritating. And we need to, because if people get so defensive and weird and then the whole conversation shuts down, and I'm not saying people don't have, you know, their emotions about that are real. And neither of us would ever, ever, ever question someone's emotions about something. But we need to get past these kinds of reactionary things, because that doesn't contribute to us showing up in the way that we want to, nor does it help us in the world of making things better for all of us. And so, you know, our principle of dignity of instead of saying like, oh, is it, you know, oh gosh, did I say something racist, or I don't want to say this because I think it's going to be right, all that stuff, is when you think about something like that, or when you instead of saying that, I think what we want you to do is say, does this treat someone with dignity, or does it take away someone's dignity? And let's reframe the conversation so that it's focused on the experience of people who are on the other end often of maybe not being seen or acknowledged or not being curious about their life experience. And it's so extraordinarily important.
Totally. And that actually pivots really well into my next question. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. It seems like this book is just super personal, both with regard to y'all's relationship and your work. So, and I also think that it's really cool that it's structured in this reframing mindset of these questions of, is that racist? And the questions that y'all have been asked and ask yourselves. So, Rosalind, how did you decide which questions to include in the book and which ones to cut? Because that seems like a pretty big task.
Shantara, like, you want to, I mean, come on. We were laughing so much about my favorite one, then I'll toss it to, these are my two favorite. My two favorite are, can I just do my job? Where there's a story about a Black woman talking about basically getting tokenized by someone in her, you know, well-meaning white woman who actually puts her in a horrible situation. And then not only when she realized, when she's told that she's put her in that horrible situation, her response to that is to get like, is to take it personally and then like, and start to cry and all this. And then all of a sudden this Black woman is like, she had the thing happen to her, but now she's having to take care of this woman. And we're not about blame at all. We are not about shaming and blaming. We are coming together with skills to be able to move forward in our relationships with each other. But Shantara, what do you think? What's your favorite chapter? What's your favorite? I think the buzzer one is yours. I don't know. There's so many things. What do you think?
Well, I mean, when you think about all we left on the cutting room floor, as they say in the film, you know, it really was difficult to come up with 20 questions, but we did have to start the book and end the book, right? So it was one of those things where we had to make some decisions. But when you're talking about, you know, racism is not an easy topic. Being an ally is not as easy as everyone thinks it is or would like to perceive that it is. And so really wanting to get to, you know, how do I start with myself? How do I look at my relationships with friends and family? How do I show up at work and you know, be the person that I want to be? So when you talk about how do we choose the questions, believe me, this could have been a volume one, volume two. Like, it was really, really hard. But we wanted to make sure that we made it approachable to people and that we really thought about what are the questions that people ask Black, Indigenous, and, you know, people of color, and what are the questions that people don't ask but they're thinking it. And when we look at the behavior These are the ways, you know, that we came up with questions like, how racist does a family member have to be, or how racist does someone have to be before I confront them? Why isn't it All Lives Matter? Should I see color? Questions like that are the what I think really drives the conversation of wanting to have conversations that make us uncomfortable.
Absolutely. I think that's a really big question that a lot of us are asking ourselves and our friends and family right now. All right. Well, we're running a little bit short on time, so semi-speed round question for you both. In a sentence or less, and we'll start with Rosalind, what are you hoping that people get out of your book? And then we'll turn it over to Shantara.
Well, I really think people, if you come tomorrow to the JCC, you are going to see, you're actually going to have a good time. Like, this is going to be a situation where you are going to laugh. You are going to breathe a little bit easier. You're going to feel like you can go to your Thanksgiving meal a little bit easier. You're going to be able to sit across the table. And if you have a cousin, uncle, aunt, or whatever, who just loves to get into it with you and you get so mad, we're going to be able to help you. And you are going to have, and you're going to laugh. Like, it's, these topics are so serious and they're so important. And we want people to walk away feeling like, oh, this is actually manageable. Like, we can figure this out and I can do something. And there's these little things I can do. Not, we're going to start real small. And that's what I want people to take away is, oh, and here's my last one, which I know because of time, is if you feel like you've walked away from a conversation, you know, with that person, and you feel like you've won, that is the moment to realize that you haven't. That you've lost, because you haven't moved the conversation forward when we dominate other people.
Yeah. And real quickly, I'll just say, I hope people get out of the book a way of feeling seen and a way of feeling heard, and that they also feel a way feeling equipped and empowered to do something. That is what I hope. And I hope that they come tomorrow.
Great. It does sound like quite the event. Well, my guests today have been Shantara McBride and Rosalind Wiseman, authors of the new book, Courageous Discomfort, How to Have Important, Brave, Life-Changing Conversations About Race and Racism. They'll be presenting their book tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Boulder Jewish Community Center. A reception will follow at 7:30 p.m. Thank you both so much for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me. And I have to say, if the registration, just come. You don't have to register for the event.
Great tip. Thanks for that. All right. And for everyone else listening, this is The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Up next is Make Them Hear You with Chris Moore.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. If you look at the Armed Forces websites, you'll see that they truly value immigrants who join the military. Some of them have foreign language skills as well as a general understanding of the culture of their home country, as well as other unique skills and knowledge. That's why Armed Forces recruiters might like to see the 35,000 immigrant active duty military swell in number. A few days ago, California Senator Alex Padilla introduced Senate Bill 5055, a bill to provide benefits for non-citizen members of the armed forces and for other purposes. As the Armed Services websites report, quote, according to military research, once non-citizens have joined the military, they are far more likely to complete their enlistment obligations successfully than their U.S.-born counterparts. The Department of Defense and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services already have a memorandum of agreement to expedite military applications, close quote. But if they don't receive their citizenship during their first enlistment, they will not be allowed to re-enlist. Other restrictions non-citizens encounter include the inability to receive promotions, retraining, overseas assignments, or security clearance. Thousands of non-criminal, non-citizen veterans have also even been deported. So Alex Padilla, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration, Citizenship, and Border Safety, introduced legislation to implement a program through the Department of Homeland Security and Department of Defense to allow non-citizen service members to file for naturalization during basic training. The legislation would also allow deported non-citizen veterans to apply for a green card. As Senator Padilla said, quote, "These service members and veterans have loyally defended our national interests, and they deserve to receive the benefits they have earned through their sacrifice without delay. This legislation will provide much-needed support and a pathway to obtaining legal permanent status for deported non-citizen veterans and prevent unjustifiable deportations, close quote. The Veterans Service Recognition Act of 2022 implements a program that would allow non-citizen service members to file for naturalization during basic training, and their family members can also file for an adjustment of status after 2 years. It allows deported veterans to apply for a green card if they have not been convicted of a serious crime, and requires Homeland Security to allow deported veterans and their covered family members to be admitted back into the United States as lawful permanent residents. If you have an opinion on SB 5055, the Veterans Service Recognition Act of 2022, you can contact your senator. And remember, get out the vote activities are getting into high gear, so remember to help your local GOTV organization to mobilize voters for next month. This is Chris Moore for Make Them Hear You.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. And as we approach autumn, I'm seeing a whole new crop of dandelions blooming again that were carried by seeds in the wind last spring, and now the leaves are here again. And when we collect the plant before it flowers, it is less bitter. But this plant will be ready to flower next spring. So feel free to collect the leaves if you'd like something wonderful to make a salad out of. Dandelions, Taraxacum officinale, are a member of the daisy or Asteraceae family. And the leaves are edible. I find it kind of crazy that people will spray this plant. I'm doing this show because I actually saw a pesticides applied sign right next to a medical clinic today. Like, what are we afraid of? Dandelions help aerate the soil. They are one of the first foods for the bees in the springtime. And by spraying pesticides, we contribute to the pollution of water and pollinators. It just doesn't make any sense. Not only can we eat the dandelion leaves when they're young, but the flowers are edible, and the flowers are also high in lutein, which is really good for your eyes. Dandelion leaves are really high in iron, beta carotene. They are high in potassium and are said to be as effective as the leading drug Lasix, a diuretic, but most chemical diuretics deplete your body of potassium, and dandelions give you potassium. It's actually one of the planet's most famous and useful weeds and considered one of the top five most nutritious vegetables. So really, we know our planet is in peril. Why? Why are we still seeing these pesticides applied sign? We need to let people know that this is no longer acceptable. Dandelion stem could be split down the middle, applied on a wart, and then the root can be consumed. You dig it up, wash it, can do that in the fall, even after the frost, which will help to sweeten it. It's a good store of carbohydrates, including the prebiotic inulin. So, what can I say? One of the most useful plants. And it provides food for many different species. You can make a tea out of the leaves. You can make a tea out of the root. You can roast the root, and it makes a coffee-tasting substitute. This is a Jedi plant that survives adversity. Nobody plants it, weeds it, waters it, mulches it, and yet it survives. And a lot of us are trying to figure out, how do we survive the perils of planet Earth? Well, we can all learn something from the dandelion.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Stewart. Shannon Young has been our producer. Special thanks to my guests, Shantara McBride and Rosalind Wiseman. And of course, to our team, Kiara Damari, Claire Purnell, Christian Gadabai, Alexis Kenyon, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown, and then a live call-in show with the League of Women Voters of Boulder County.